relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
You know, you can be in the middle of a hurricane, or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm. North is still north. People can yell at you. North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
Even if you stand by yourself and people are shouting at you, if you're being buffeted by storms and hurricanes, it doesn't matter. North is still north. And the truth is still the truth. God bless Clarence Thomas. He has lived those words. And we are so grateful to him for his part in the decision on Friday, protecting the unborn, in the spirit of our founding, bringing that issue back to where it should be decided. The states, the citizens of the states and their representatives. And then the day before on his birthday, recognizing the strange necessity that we had to recognize that the Constitution is the Constitution, the Second Amendment right to bear arms means the right to bear arms, not to hide them at home in your house. So happy birthday, Clarence Thomas, belatedly. We celebrated it on the day. And happy birthday to us in America for all of your work. And we are so delighted to have in studio the makers of a film that we have the poster of in our offices, that we discussed when it came out, and now the co-author of the book that celebrates that movie and that man. Of course, he is the great Associate Justice Clarence Thomas, and the book is his life story, Created Equal. And we have in studio with us the filmmaker, the co-author, Michael Pack and Mark Paletta. Welcome to America First.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Let's just have a reaction to last week's news. I can't stop smiling since then. It's like a rictus grin. It's involuntary. I think the left totally miscalculated with that leak. As we had Kevin Roberts in studio on Friday, as constitutional experts have said to me, perhaps the most important decision of the court's history. Michael.
Absolutely. I think you were right, Seb, to put the emphasis on preserving the Constitution. I mean, these things are not about whether abortion is good or bad. No. It's about whether there's a constitutional right to abortion. If people had watched our movie, they wouldn't have been, and now if they read the book, they would not be surprised at Clarence Thomas's decision.
Yeah.
He's been very consistent, and we call our book Created Equal because it comes out of his lifelong dedication to the principles of the Declaration and the Constitution, which those principles underlie. And you see both in the book and the film it come out of his very dramatic life story, coming from poverty in the Deep South, against many struggles to the highest court in the land, not least of which the opposition of the left to everything he's done, you know, now. So it is not surprising that that continues today.
Yeah, people have to watch this movie. It's available everywhere. You can watch it with us at salemnow.com. You can go to the people who made it, manifoldproductions.com, Amazon, Netflix. You mentioned it's available everywhere, which is a great, great site. But Mark, talk to us about last week.
As you said, Seb, a great day for the Constitution. I can't stop smiling, right? It's such a wonderful thing that happened, right? And there's so many, on so many levels, one of them being that the left threw everything at these justices in the most despicable way possible, right? And one of the, I worked on Justice Thomas's confirmation back in 1991, right? And I saw it when I reviewed his speeches in articles from his time as the EEOC, right? He'd been through the fire and he never wilted, he never bent, right? And so to see whether, you know, you never know how a justice is going to be until they're on the court, right, and under fire. And it's such a great day that Justice Barrett, Justice Gorsuch, Justice Kavanaugh, right, Justice Alito, and Justice Thomas did not bend, right? And that's one of the most important things coming out of this opinion, right? Returning it to the states where it properly belongs, And then this intimidation. And you know, when you going back to the book and the movie, Justice Thomas recognized during those confirmation hearings, all the left cared about was this decision. This is what they were going to destroy him on.
So the Roe v. Wade was the neuralgic point for the left.
100%. And he goes back to it over and over. He said, they didn't care what I did with my life. They didn't care about anything I had done. They wanted this issue, and they were going to destroy me to keep this issue. And so it's not, it's unbelievable but not surprising, Seb, right, that Roe v. Wade was the opinion that distorted our Constitution and our politics, right? And put the court as the for the left to be the super legislature.
Correct.
Right? To get their radical agenda implemented that they could never do at state legislatures and national, right? So it's almost not surprising, given the left's tactics, that they resorted to attempted assassinations of Supreme Court justices and trying to burn down the Supreme Court physically, yeah. Right? And who, you know, so it's not surprising. It's sad. But again, coming out of this, what I see, having worked on a number of Supreme Court confirmations, I worked on Gorsuch, I worked on Kavanaugh, worked on Thomas, is the courage to stand by your decisions. And that's what we saw, and that's what I take out of this thing. And when we pick future Supreme Court justices, that's the most important ingredient, is that your originalism, your faithfulness to the Constitution, but that added element of courage.
Yeah. Courage is our biggest asset that we lack in the last 2 years, especially under COVID, and it's been a theme for our show. We're going to discuss the justice. We're going to discuss the confirmation hearing, an amazing clip I play again and again and again, that high-tech lynching moment, which was, of course, presided over by Senator Biden at the time. So we'll remind everybody of that. But first, let me ask you a rude question, if I may, Michael. If you know, I'm in production as well. We've just created a company with my wife, Katie. We're developing a TV show. I've been a contributor on Fox and Newsmax for years now. If somebody came to me, all other things being equal, and said, I want to make a movie. Will you give me money to make a movie about a judge or a Supreme Court justice? I'm not sure that would be the easiest sell in the world. I have seen Created Equal. It is superlative. I'll tell people why. But why? Why a movie about a judge in the Supreme Court, Michael?
Well, I do like a challenge.
Okay.
But also, I mean, even the decision to make it Clarence Thomas in his own words, where he looks right to camera, and I let him tell his story rather than my telling it or other experts telling it. Him telling it, so he and...
Let me hold your thought. Don't go anywhere. I just want everybody to understand. Over a period of how many months?
Several months and 30 hours.
Several months. This is the photograph from the movie. They made sure he wore the same shirt and tie every time. And he sits there like this in front. And he just lit. We were in a private screening. And you think he's there. I mean, he's just talking into the camera. It is the most heartwarming personal tale. The way you did it was magical, Michael.
Well, thank you. But it did create a challenge, because you have to find other things to show, you know, stock footage and recreations and other visual metaphors, so that the audience stays interested. So it was a challenge. But look, he is a great storyteller, and he has a great voice, a great deep voice, and a great laugh.
Oh, that laugh!
And I beg people who do not agree with Clarence Thomas to watch the film. Those people that are protesting should see the film.
Yes.
Maybe they would be less fast to turn to violence and anger if they saw where his decision comes from. It comes from his life. It's not some easy, facile decision. And if you understand him, I think you understand where that courage comes from. But you understand what it means to him. And look, that was the film had to do that. It had to get Clarence Thomas's view across. Yeah, that is a challenge. You are quite right, Sam.
Was it hard to convince him to do it? Was it Ginny? What was the magic solution?
Well, it's true that he always says that he doesn't really care about defending himself and his legacy. And it was friends of his, including Mark, that wanted him to do this film.
Okay.
And it was a little hard, but once he says yes, then he sticks with it.
When the movie first was signed off on to go forward, Justice Thomas had not agreed to be interviewed for it. And Michael, who is one of our greatest, if not greatest, documentary filmmakers, and we're so lucky he made this film. I remember talking to him, because he's made documentaries on George Washington and Alexander Hamilton. And I would tell Michael, you made documentaries on those people and you didn't talk to them. Like, you can make a successful film. But as I think the process went along, Justice Thomas, you know, agreed to do it. And I think we had first told him maybe 6 hours or 7 hours, something like that. And as it unfolded, it was 25 hours over several months.
Well, I want to see the rest of the film. It's less than 2 hours long. I want to see the other 23 hours, please. Maybe we could have a mini-series. The book, the movie, is Created Equal. It's just out by my publisher, of course, the best publisher on the planet, Regnery. Get yours today. Watch the movie at salemnow.com, everywhere else as well. If you love this show as much as we love making it for you, please subscribe. Never miss an episode of One on One. Go to Spotify, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. It's absolutely free. Write a review, share the links, and guarantee that you never, ever miss an episode. If you haven't done so already, be sure to register for our Stand With Israel tour. We are going to the Holy Land for 10 days later this year with my superb Salem colleague, Dinesh D'Souza, the director of 2,000 Mules, and his lovely wife, Debbie. If you've never been to Israel, now is your opportunity. If you've been before, it doesn't matter, because you haven't been with me and Dinesh. They've dropped all their COVID requirements. I'm not vaccinated, and I'm going, so you've got no excuse. Join us for the trip of a lifetime. Call today 855-565-19 or go to standwithisraeltour.com. That was far too fast. I'll do it again a little bit more slowly. 855-565-5519. Standwithisraeltour.com. Standwithisraeltour.com. Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code G-O-R-K-A. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off MyPillow.com. Do it today. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. I want everybody to see the movie, Michael. I want everybody to read the bookmark. But share, if you will, a little of the Clarence Thomas that we don't know, the prior to the hearing, the amazing story of how he grew up, his family, the less than conservative Clarence Thomas in college. Yeah. Share a little bit of the history of the pre-famous Clarence Thomas.
Well, as you know, he was born in Pinpoint, Georgia in 1948, you know, and it's a Gullah-speaking area, so his English was not his first language. His father left before he could remember, so he was raised by his mother, who then took Clarence Thomas and his brother to Savannah, where he suffered dire poverty, hungry all the time, cold in the winter, brought to school and then left, and then he'd walk out and wander the streets of Savannah until his mother brought him to her father, his grandfather, to raise, and that turned Justice Thomas's life around. And hard work, his grandfather said, the damn vacation is over. And the two boys thought, what vacation? And it was work all the time. They went to school, they went home, and they worked on the...
A Catholic truck. School, right?
That's right. He was Catholic, a very unusual thing for a black man in those days, and he sent them to a parochial school. Remember, it's the segregated South. It was all black, but run by these Irish nuns that continue to give him discipline, hard work, a rigorous curriculum. And he thrived and wanted to be a priest, which a lot of people do not know, and enrolled in the seminary.
Wasn't he like only one of two or the only black seminary?
He was integrating what were formerly all white seminaries, and he would have been one of the first black priests in Savannah. But it was the late 60s, and he experienced racism there, and as you, it reached a peak perhaps when he was watching when Martin Luther King Jr. was shot, and one of the seminarians says, I hope that SOB dies.
And then something snapped.
Something snapped, and he became a black radical, as you say, less than conservative. You know, he said the more radical the better. He describes himself as an angry black man, and he went to Holy Cross, where he got a full scholarship. His grandfather kicked him out of the house when he lost his vocation, and he went through this radical period. And we tell that story, and then the story of him coming back to his faith and coming back to what he thinks of as the principles of his grandfather and the nuns that raised him. That are the principles of the Declaration and the Constitution, and then, which is why we call it Created Equal. And that's a very torturous and difficult journey.
It's a beautiful story, though. His return is a beautiful story, and the refining of his faith.
It is a beautiful story. It began when he went to an anti-war riot in Cambridge, or an anti-war rally that became a riot. And he got caught up in the riot and the madness of the crowd, and he saw what he was becoming, and he did not like it. And although he had lost his faith or had drifted away from the Catholic, when he went back to Holy Cross that day, it was early morning, you know, wee hours of the morning. The chapel was closed, but he knelt in front of the chapel and prayed that if God would take anger out of his heart, he would never hate again. And as he says in both the book and the film, that was the beginning of his slow journey back,
Beautiful.
Both to his faith and to his conservative ideas. And it is a great story. And it's because he's rejected those ideas and come back to them that he holds them in a deep way. I mean, that's one of the reasons why he's unshakable, has the courage that...
Because he has the roots.
Yes, he has the roots, and he knows what it's like when you're on the other side.
How did you first meet him?
I met him when these people who were interested in having his story told introduced me to him, and I met him with Mark, and... Look, you meet him once and you know he's got a great story, a great personality, and a great storyteller. He has a deep voice, like other people in this room, actually.
But his laugh is better. How about you, Mark? How did you meet him?
I met him in 1983 up in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and then reached out to him in 1989. I was in the Bush White House and we were doing judges. Reached out to Justice Thomas, then the EEOC chairman, to see if he'd send me all of his writings. So I could vet them. We became great friends. He offered me a clerkship. The White House Counsel's Office asked me to stay and work in their office. I became one of the key aides for him during the confirmation in the White House. And from that point on, we've had a lifelong friendship. We spend Thanksgiving dinner together and with our families and Christmas dinners together. So he's a wonderful friend and a hero.
That's the right word. I'm sorry. We haven't used that word enough. We're you know, 10 minutes in, and we have to call this man a hero.
He is our greatest living American and our greatest justice, and he is a hero. And it's and you talked about Seb in terms of outside the what people know about Justice Thomas. Right after those confirmation hearings, I was diagnosed with cancer, and this is after Justice Thomas had been just brutalized and broken during those confirmations. And I was diagnosed. He literally came over to my house, or came to the hospital, or called me every single day.
Wow.
Right? And he was, you know, going through chemotherapy, bringing me stuff, coming by. I just saw a book the other day he had signed to me. Get well, buddy. Your friends need you, and your country needs you. You know, he signed a photo that says, great, my hair had grown back. Great hair, buddy. We survived. And it was that bond of going through the confirmation, and then right after that, that, you know, my ordeal, my battle with cancer. But Justice Thomas is just the kindest person.
And the one thing I've seen of him, I've only met him a few times. I've known Ginny for years because of her activities. But I saw him most recently at the church we go to. He is perhaps the most, and I'm making a neologism up here, he is the most egoless famous person I've ever met.
So,
like Rush Limbaugh, the two of them.
So if you look at the very end of that book, Appendix 2, is the Litany of Humility, which is a Catholic prayer, which hangs in Justice Thomas's...
Oh, wow.
If you start reading that, it hangs in Justice Thomas's chambers. Today, it hangs in his chambers. And it's a beautiful prayer that's all about selflessness.
Let's just read a couple of lines from this. This is Appendix B to the book Created Equal, Celebrating This American Hero. Lord Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me, Jesus. That others may be esteemed more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be chosen and I set aside, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may become holier than I,
provided that I may become as holy as I should. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. Wow. Mark. Wow, that is incredible.
Yeah,
hold on to your horses. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. You're listening to One on One with the new authors of the Clarence Thomas work, Created Equal, Michael Pack and Mark Paletta. Welcome to Salem Media, wherever you are. Do not touch that dial.
Judge Thomas, you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Please be seated.
When I was six, I wandered the streets by myself. You were hungry and didn't know when you'd eat. Someplace in my life, the road split off. I had gone to the seminary. I had gone to all white schools. I was never going to be a part of that world. I was never going to be white. The problem is I could never go back completely to the world I came from. We're supposed to be revolutionaries. We were for anybody who's kind of in your face. I saw what I had become, lashing out at every single thing. And then I asked God that if you take anger out of my heart, I'll never hate again. And that was the beginning of the slow return to where I started.
I want my candidacy to unify our country.
I was under constant attack. You're not really black because you're not doing what we expect black people to do.
I will nominate Judge Clarence Thomas to serve as Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court.
That's when all heck broke loose.
Judge Thomas began to use work situations to discuss sex.
We know exactly what's going on here. This is the wrong black guy. He has to be destroyed. You really didn't matter. What mattered was what they wanted.
So you'd still like to serve on the Supreme Court?
I'd rather die than withdraw from the process.
I want to be able to say I lived up to my oath and did my best.
Did you have any idea? I mean, that's a great... I mean, that's what a teaser ad should be, okay? Hollywood has no idea how to make them anymore. Did you have any idea of how compelling his story would be when he first agreed that it would be just so powerful, Michael?
I did not. I mean, I knew very little of his story when I first met him. I had only the memory of the hearings, and it's an incredibly powerful story. I think you do get a sense of it in the teaser, but it is very different to watch the film. And, you know, since the film was based on these long interviews, we felt lots of people like you wanted to know what else was it didn't go in the film, and that is why we created the book.
Can we see some of the extra footage? Can you release maybe a sequel or a miniseries?
Maybe.
Okay.
But you got the book and the film for now, and I agree, it's an amazingly compelling story. I always say you can be a great man and not have a great life story.
Right.
Justice Thomas has both, and that's a very great boon to any filmmaker. So yes, it's very compelling, and I didn't realize when I started how important it would be to tell his story, how completely central the Supreme Court has become, and really a few people on the Supreme Court are sort of defending the constitutional order, and without them, we would be in a very different place.
There's a line. We're going to play a moment from the confirmation hearing, but Mark, there's a line in that commercial that, of the film, was probably drilled into my cerebellum more than any other phrase. And when it's when Justice Thomas says, "I would rather die than to withdraw from this process."
Yes.
And there is no question that he meant, there's not a scintilla of doubt in the listener's ear that he meant that, right?
He meant that. He did not care about getting on the Supreme Court at that point.
But he was not going to surrender to the thugs.
No, that's what I mean. He was not going to withdraw. He said, "I don't run from bullies. I've never run from bullies. I'm not going to start running from bullies now." And that is Justice Thomas's entire life, including when he was in these in the Reagan administration, right? And he was getting attacked by the left, but he's also battling some folks in the Reagan administration. Justice Thomas was going to listen to people, and then he was going to do what he thought was right. He's got this great line, actually. This is the kind of stuff in the book that's not in the movie because you just didn't have time. He talks about going up, to when he was the EEOC chairman, they had 60 oversight hearings.
And say what the EEOC is?
At the EEOC. He had 60 Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Right. Justice Thomas, it was a completely broken agency when he took it over. It was run by Eleanor Holmes Norton. It was a disaster, right? He comes in and he cleans it up, and even the Washington Post says that he got it running, okay? That's what his job is to do, not to do these virtue signaling, you know, joke of settlements, okay? And so he's at the EEOC.
He's going up.
And I've lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Don't worry. You'll return. So the question is whether he meant it when he said, I would rather die than withdraw. Yeah. I want to hear the rest of that story. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. All right. Mark, it came back to you. You had a Biden moment, but you have remembered now the story.
He's running the EEOC, Equal Employment
Clarence Thomas,
Commission,
yep.
Clarence Thomas, and he goes up for 60 oversight hearings, and the Democrats just beat
what?
60.
60?
6-0. And he says, you know, there's a silver lining of I knew what these hearings were like, right? But when he's running those agencies and they beat the hell out of him, he says, right?
Right.
He says, I'm going to go up there, they're going to beat the hell out of me, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to do exactly what I was doing before, right?
Nice.
So this is Clarence Thomas, unbowed.
A rock. All right. Let's get to the thing I've been wanting to talk about for the whole interview. Guys, I'm so excited. I want to cancel the radio show and just go read now. Okay, this is the book I'm going to read tonight, Kev Tagava. Here's a clip that I've played on this show, I don't know, 20, 30 times in the last 2 years. This is from the hearings. The nomination of Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court. Let's play it.
This is a circus. It's a national disgrace. It is a high-tech lynching for uppity blacks who in any way deign to think for themselves. And it is a message that unless you kowtow to an old order, you will be lynched, destroyed, caricatured by a committee of the U.S. Senate rather than hung from a tree.
That is a man, that is a patriot, that is a man of God. And the man executing the high-tech lynching was Senator Joe Biden. That should have disqualified him from the presidency. Forget the Ukraine, the money, Hunter Biden, the hookers, the cocaine. That behavior, because he was a black conservative, should have meant that he never ran for county dog catcher. Okay, sorry, I got that out. Mark, you said you worked on the Kavanaugh confirmations as well.
Yes.
One thing I said back then, you know, people were horrified that this, you know, God bless him, but he's not an exciting man. He's the guy you want coaching your kid's baseball team. I mean, he's a milquetoast Boy Scout. Love you, thank you. But the idea that he's a serial rapist who drugged his victims... I told people, why are you surprised the Democrats are saying this about this upright man? Did you forget Clarence Thomas? Yeah. You were there for both of those.
I was.
Nobody should have been surprised what they did to this godly man.
Seb, you know what? When that happened, it was like a flashback.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what happened to Thomas was just despicable. You know, many years later, this comes back up. But I knew. I knew it was completely false. I helped prepare Brett Kavanaugh for those hearings. I did a one-on-one murder board with him 2 days before those hearings. And I knew that they were false allegations. And I told Brett, go in there, right, and talk to the American people, okay? And just like Anita Hill, you know, when she first testified, and you hear her story kind of unchallenged, people would believe her, right? But when you come back and stress test it and have his story come back, the American people would believe you. And that's what happened. But it shows the tactics of the left. This is what they do. They destroy people. That's what they do.
That's their job.
That's their job.
There was a moment in the Kavanaugh hearings that was very much like that clip from Clarence Thomas where he just, he sat up and he said, I'm not going to be bullied. I'm not going to withdraw. It was almost like just a redux.
So I love it that Justice Thomas was this model for how to fight this because just Justice Kavanaugh said, do you have any advice? having worked on the Justice Department. And if you listen to Brett's language, he also calls it a circus.
Yes.
I think he looked back to Justice Thomas in his words, in his strength,
right.
And he wasn't going to be bullied from withdrawing from that process. That's exactly what he said. And I felt good that Justice Thomas, who had provided an example that somebody could rely upon when going through this similar thing.
Echoes of Righteousness. I think that could be the title of your next movie, Echoes of Righteousness. Let's talk about this movie, because you are a documentarian par excellence. I love your Rickover documentary. You have give us some of the subjects you've done, just to our millions of listeners. Just the names.
Well, we've done over 15. Most of them have been on PBS.
Right.
It's always our goal is to sort of reach the middle. I mean, Dinesh, who we brought up earlier, does a good job at reaching the conservative base. But we also need to reach the middle, people who are not committed to one side or the other. And that's why I'm glad this film was on PBS and people who didn't like Justice Thomas could see it. And we've done about 15.
Give us some other names.
PBS. We've done one on George Washington, one on Alexander Hamilton before the musical made him a rap star. We've done the one that you mentioned on
Admiral Rickover.
We did one on the Rodney King incident 5 or 6 years later, which is also rather relevant now.
Yes.
Since that's another playbook that was then imitated many, many times.
Exactly. I have to ask, of all the ones, the 15 you've done, can you compare the response to this one about Clarence Thomas with the other 14?
I think this response has been greater, I mean, by a lot.
And are you happy?
Yes, I think it's a great thing. I mean, it is a great thing. And I have to say, we have generous donors, and in this case, the generous donors also helped us promote it. A rare thing. I mean, one of my big causes now, Seb, maybe the subject for another show, is that we do not tell our story enough on our side, which is why I'm glad that you are starting a film company.
We are, but it's not that we don't tell it well enough. I'm going to push back, Michael. We don't understand the power of story.
Indeed, we do not.
Just the concept of story.
We do not. We do not. We've ceded that to the left. Conservative donors are more interested in putting their money in elections or in...
Or full-page ads in the Washington Times.
Full-page ads or think tanks or conferences. The left has spent its time on stories. Documentaries alone, I estimate they spend tens of billions a year. You know, Netflix, for instance, has a $17 billion budget for a year. Now, they're not all, progressive projects, but maybe half are. So that's that. But, public broadcasting alone is $2.5 billion.
Right.
We spend tens of millions, 1,000 times less than
what
they spend.
Why do you have you identified as a leading documentarian for, I would say, our side, who's talking to the center? I'll give you that. Why do we not understand? I mean, this came to me a few years ago. The reason I made up bedtime stories to my children and my wife would read Lord of the Rings to my son is because humans crave it. Yeah. Why have we forgotten that humans exist? Our sole food are stories, Michael. Where did we forget this?
It's a shocking thing. And of course... You sometimes hear people say, well, the left is better at storytelling. But actually, most traditional stories are very conservative, as you cited from the Tolkien stories. But going back to the Iliad and the Odyssey, really, there are stories of heroes. There are stories of people defending their nation.
The hero's journey.
Hero's journey. And it is a sad lapse. I think there are lots of reasons for it, but it's not too late to turn it around. And otherwise, we will be letting the left tell the stories of our recent history, our founding, and that will dominate the ideas of our children and grandchildren.
Well, they'll just forge the past. All right, guys, no excuse. He's pushing back, okay? I'm starting as well. It's manifoldproductions.com has the full list. You've got to see them. This movie, Created Equal, is available everywhere. You can get it through us at salemnow.com. If you want to give those reprobates at Amazon some money, you can go there as well. But manifoldproductions.com, and also the book is out from Regnery. Get it, ideally, not at Amazon, but get it wherever you get your books. Created Equal, Clarence Thomas, in his own words. You will not regret it. I'd like to return to where we began, and there are no coincidences. Thank you, Lord, for your sense of timing to bring me these guests after last week's news. Let's return to Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade, the Second Amendment decision on Clarence Thomas' birthday. If you don't want to use the moniker conservative, that's okay. But for those who believe in America, are you buoyed or are you worried? Where are we right now? Do we temper our celebration from last week? How do you feel? Let's take a snapshot, gentlemen. Let's start with you, Michael.
Well, I think it's great that the Supreme Court is defending the Constitution. So that is a positive moment. But I think these values and principles are under threat.
Yeah.
And though it's a positive moment, we should not think the war is won. This is another conservative problem often. They declare victory before victory is ready to be declared.
And the left's still fighting. While we describe victory, the left's still fighting.
The left is still fighting. That's right. I think this is a difficult moment for this country. I mean, I think people like us have to defend it via the media that we understand, and I want more people to be making and telling these stories. Everyone has to, you know, this is a difficult moment. And the left this is a setback for them, but it's not going to stop them.
No,
and
bingo.
I think courage and heroism are more needed than ever.
Wow. I think it's Rule 7 or Rule 8 of Saul Alinsky. When you win a battle, you don't take a break. You keep fighting. The left understands that. We stop. We celebrate. Oh, look at the Supreme Court said. And we take a break. The left never takes a break. We must crush those who hate America and hate Judeo-Christian civilization. Not going to put words in your mouth. Mark, are you buoyed?
I'm always an optimist. I think the Supreme Court, who would have thunk? 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that we would have had a Supreme Court this good, right? Yeah. So that's a great thing, and it will block all these crazy things that are not founded in the Constitution. There's going to be a wave in November, and where the Supreme Court that is finally, you know, these are young justices, right?
Yes.
And I also expect Justice Thomas to serve for another 15, 20 years. Yes. So you're going to have that court. And I think it's going to make a ton of difference as the swing comes back. People are awakening to the craziness of the left.
Yeah.
And so I'm always an optimist. Our best days are ahead. We just need to go fight and protect our values and our freedoms.
Fight, fight, fight. Courage and heroes. Here's one. Here's a real American hero. Follow these gentlemen. They are on social media. Mark Powell. Just Mark at Mark Pauletta,
yes,
on Twitter,
yep,
and then Michael Pack _, but also manifoldproductions.com. The movie available everywhere under the same title, Created Equal. You can see all the other documentaries listed at manifoldproductions.com. It's a superb movie. Get to know this great man a little bit better. And the book newly out from Regnery is also Created Equal. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, dear friends, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
What day of the week is it? Tuesday. Usually a pretty average work day today. Oh my, oh my. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 stories that I want to hit in the next 3 hours and talk to our amazing guests. And we have quite the lineup for you. But let's talk about what just ended. It was episode 457 of the January 6th committee. Some star witness who worked for Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, who I've never heard of. I can't even remember her name. She's very pretty, and I'm sure that's why the Democrats had her there. What was her name?
I don't know the name either.
And I worked in the White House, and I didn't recognize the name. And the people are so excited at this insider's testimony. Your reaction to what we heard this morning?
Well, today, if you listen to MSNBC or CNN, this was a major player in the MAGA movement. She was worked for Scalise before Ted Cruz. They were talking her up as that she was very big. I listened to about half of it. It didn't seem like very much at all to me.
But hang on. We found out, did we not, according to her, that President Trump has broken some dishes in the private dining room of the White House.
I heard that. If that's true, is that the first one since Hillary threw dishes, or is that a lamp?
That was an ashtray and a lamp. An ashtray and a lamp, which is confirmed by our Secret Service sources. But look, isn't this big? I mean, President Trump broke a plate.
So that's the big evidence that they did push it up a couple weeks for.
Isn't that the definition of insurrection?
I think so.
All right. A complete nothing burger. Let's talk about real news. This is how you deal with fake news. This is none other than, God willing, the future governor of Arizona. It's Carrie Lake, who went on fake Fox News. Because nowadays, you know, outside of a couple of good guys like Tucker and Gutfeld and Jesse Waters. Look, with that transgender segment they did 2 weeks ago where the mother said, yes, 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 my daughter, before she could speak, told me she was a boy. When you're peddling absolutely disgusting, perverted stuff like that, you know you've lost Fox. But Bret Baier, you know, he did walk a line pretending to people. I knew he wasn't, but pretending to people, he's a journalist. He has integrity. Yeah, I warned you about Bret Baier, but this is how you deal with fake journalists like Fox's Bret Baier. Carrie Lake on the fire. Play cut.
Here's what we have. 740,000 ballots that have no chain of custody. They cannot be authenticated, and they should not have been counted. 34,000 ballots that were counted 2, 3, and 4 times. People who moved, who still voted in our election. There's a mountain of evidence, and I wish that the corporate media would start covering it instead of putting their head in the sand and acting like it didn't happen. We know what happened here.
Okay.
Just because we have
I understand what you're saying. The attorney general obviously has talked about this at length, saying that they instructed U.S. attorneys to pursue any specific credible allegations of substantial fraud, and he found none, including using very colorful language in his testimony. I understand what you're saying, but there have been, as you know, more than 70 court cases where there was not evidence and there was not any state legislature or governor that failed to certify an election, including your own Republican Doug Ducey.
We did not have any court cases where the evidence was presented. We now have evidence that is admissible in a court of law, and I believe the day will come where we have that court case. We have an AG, Mark Brnovich, who has sat on a mountain of evidence and done nothing, including video evidence. We have the True the Vote evidence. We have people who do not want to uncover the truth about our election, and it makes me wonder if they're afraid they really didn't win in previous elections.
And the rest of that interview, Baier attacks her, doesn't address 2,000 mules because that's verboten, can't talk about 2,000 mules on Fox, but digs up some spurious charge about a drag queen performer from Arizona who performed in Carrie Lake's house, which Carrie Lake says on camera never happened and is a lie. But Bret Baier's fine repeating it. Why? Because he's just another lab dog. We're super excited. Carrie is going to be joining us later here on America First. But really, the biggest story of the day is what happened southwest of San Antonio on Monday. The left would have you believe that they are the party of the underdog. They're the party of the working man and woman. They're the party that represents the disenfranchised and hard done by minorities, the Black American community and the Hispanic community. It's a lie. A tractor trailer was found outside San Antonio with illegal immigrants in the back, in a container that was not air conditioned and was, of course, locked from the outside. Inside the container, stacked like cordwood, were more than 50 illegal immigrants. Illegal immigrants who were dead. As of today, the death toll has increased to more than 50 human beings, four of them being children. How did they die? They say drowning is an awful way to die. I would think being cooked alive is probably worse. Now, I've thought about pain over the years. My mother was born with dislocated hips. She had very bad rheumatism. And every day, she suffered with pain every single day of her adult life. I saw that pain. She limped badly. She couldn't walk more than a few hundred feet every day. And then I thought about, once I knew what had happened, the pain my father underwent. Betrayed as an anti-communist student in Hungary, physically tortured by the secret police, sent to a prison coal mine, tortured by the prison guards. He still had scars on his body till the day he died from those tortures. So it kind of puts pain into perspective for me, a guy who would have crumbled after the first torture session. But even without that family background, just for a second, put yourself in the position of those 50 people who are hoping for a brighter future, who've paid a coyote between $5,000 and $12,000 to be smuggled across our border because Biden said, yeah, come on down, because Alejandro Mayorkas took the border regime that we built in the Trump White House. They came here with hope. Illegally, I get it. Yeah, illegally. Yeah, I'm a legal immigrant. They were illegal. But they came here with hope for a brighter future. And then slowly, over the series of a couple of days, in blistering heat, as that tractor trailer container turned into a pressure cooker, oxygen was depleted, the temperature rose, and they were slowly cooked to death. Those deaths, including those children, are on Joe Biden's administration that opened the border, told the cartels, smuggle as many people as you want. We will not stop any of you. Alejandro Mayorkas is guilty. Joe Biden has blood on his hands. And now the world can see the Democrat Party for the ethnic minority hating, murderous, organized crime cartel they have become. If you're a Democrat, why'd you vote for them? They just killed 50 people. Migrants. Do you have no shame? No guilt? I'm Sebastian Gorka. Subscribe on Spotify, America First, Sebastian Gorka. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stay on this channel.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.